I'm sure like you, or I'm sure like me, you have some Christmas traditions that you've been through in the past couple of weeks. One of my traditions is that I buy a real tree. Yes, it's dead, it's been cut, or is dying. But it's not made out of plastic. It's a real tree, and depending on the year, this year I got a beautiful balsam that made my entire place smell gorgeous. The only debate around the tree is when to put it up and when to take it down. And depending on where Christmas falls in the life of a priest, it makes a bit of difference. And so this year I put it up, as I like to do best, on the Friday or Saturday before Christmas, the last weekend of Advent. That is my preferred tradition. And this year was easy, Christmas being a little later in the week, and got the tree up and decorated, and it's beautiful, a few gifts under it. And I'm at the beautiful time in my life when none of my family want any gifts. And so the tree is mostly there by itself, with a few things underneath. And so it's a wonderful time, and I have a tradition of every morning when I get up, the first light I turn on is to plug in the tree. And the last thing that is unplugged is the tree. And on Christmas night, or I should say Christmas Eve and Christmas night, that night the lights stay on the tree all night. So that's my love of Christmas. And the only debate, as I say, is when to take it down. Normally by New Year's Day, I'm tired of the tree. It's dripping. There are things on my floor. There's needles about throughout my place. And I'm getting tired of having to negotiate around it and step around it and just everything. But this year, the tree smells heavenly. This year, the lights seem brighter. Perhaps it's because of the unseasonably warm and cloudy weather. But perhaps it's because of the unseemly, actually, state of our world. To have the lights and the smell and the warmth of that joy of Christmas to stay just a little longer. This turn of the decade, this time whenever it seems that people want to fight instead of make peace. This time when lands are burning rather than being lush and green. This time when there's a lot of conflict in our world and there's a lot of people who have breaking hearts. So for this year, the tree is still up. The only debate is whether it comes down this afternoon or tomorrow on Epiphany. Because Epiphany is a true transition moment. We have spent the last number of weeks preparing for Christmas and Advent and then celebrating the joy. And the joy of Christmas, even if you're having a rough year, even if there are many reasons and depressions that surround you, clouds from other years around Christmas, or new griefs, there's still the joy of a baby being born, and not just any baby, Jesus, who comes to change our lives and to change the world. And today we hear the story of the dedication of the wise men who studied the stars, who went on a quest to find this baby, to find this Jesus. The quest that we are on all of our lives too, looking for Jesus. And so it's a transition time, though, from that joy. The wise men find Jesus, and there is much joy in this reading. They saw the child and his mother Mary, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Rich, wise men from a land far away traveled all that way through many dangers to kneel at a child's feet, at a child's cradle. At young parents, unmarried. This would be unheard of. And then to bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What joy there is in that. What joy there was here in this place over Christmas. One person who was leaving on Christmas Eve, late after the late service, said to me, "I have never seen a priest smile so much." Especially behind the altar. And I said, how could I not? How could I not smile? The joy that is in people's hearts when they are here for Christmas. But Epiphany means showing forth, not just celebrating joy. And Epiphany is a transition moment for us to move from that joy to showing forth that joy in our world, in our lives, and to others. And that's challenging. Luckily for me, John took the services on the 29th, and so for me, I've had a long, quiet, wonderful time. Believe it or not, no phone calls, no emails I had to answer, a whole week almost of just quiet time, smelling that tree, reading those books. The transition from that to having to prepare a sermon for today and to actually show up at 7:30, not gentle. And I'm sure for you, you have those transitions in your lives too. And that's like today's readings. That's like today's experience of the Epiphany. Not gentle. Even though it seems like a lovely story, it's challenging. And we are challenged to move from the joy of the manger to the challenge of the gospel. Because today we hear and are reminded that the love of God is for the whole world. The wise men were not Jewish. The wise men came from a different country. The wise men were strangers, foreigners, and from totally a different universe. And yet, they were the ones who saw the star. Nobody else noticed whatever constellation they were following. They did. And they traveled and took this dangerous time to travel in their lives and to come and even stop and ask Herod, the most fearsome person, where this baby lay. And so we are challenged in our own lives to remember that the love of God is for everyone, everywhere. Doesn't matter their creed, race, religion, gender, status, their own thoughts about how good or how bad they may be. The love of God is for every single person, everywhere. And that is challenging to live out. It's a lot easier to hold a baby and gaze at it and enjoy that joy than it is to walk from this place and remember that God is there for everyone, no matter what they believe. The second challenge is the power of God and how it unsettles human power. There's a lot of power in this reading. There's a lot of power being held by Herod. It says that when he heard the news about these wise men traveling to find Jesus, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. The only reason all of Jerusalem would be frightened is if he told them to be. They would not even know about this. Except Herod was indeed frightened because his power was threatened. Somehow in this, Herod knew that this child was going to overturn the world order, turn it all upside down. And the kind of power that he grasped onto was not what Jesus came to teach. He was so powerful that he also believed in his own power and thought he could manipulate these wise men. And so, of course, cunningly says, well, you know, come and tell me, secretly, of course, because all of power that is manipulation is usually done in secret. Come and talk to me quietly. And when you find out where this child is, come and tell me so I may pay him homage. Nothing farther than the truth, as we know. He slays all the babies trying to kill Jesus. And in the end, the power that the wise men take back, because they hear in a dream from God that they are not to go to Herod. And they own that. They understand it, and they go to their home country by another road. We are challenged to think about what power is over us. What has got us in its grasp, in our lives personally and in our land. But also, like the wise men, we are challenged to also think about our responsibility for the power that we do have. Often in our lives, we like to say, oh, I don't have any power, I can't change that, I can't change that. I always have the opportunity to change the way we think. We always have the opportunity to claim whatever power we have, even if it is minute. And that is a very important part. There's two parts. What has power got over us? What kind of power is over us? And what will we claim? And what will we hold responsible for? Because if we do not claim our own power, then the danger is we will be like Herod, and we will manipulate and use and not understand the kind of power that God gives us. And the third challenge is that the nature of God is revealed to us in Jesus. Who Jesus really is. In the reading from Ephesians, Paul talks about how he is called to share this nature of Jesus to everyone. It doesn't matter that he's insignificant or that he actually believed the complete opposite for a long time. He is now meant to share the nature of Jesus. And that challenges us to give complete trust to God and to live with love in our hearts and our lives and our actions. Because that is the nature of Jesus, not just a pretty manger scene, not just wise men offering homage, but us, our lives. How do we live the way Jesus asked us to live? And not only asked us, showed us how to live. I think there's a wonderful line in our Eucharistic prayer that talks about how this gift of bread and wine was given to us through Jesus' death. That gift of us to be able to go out and to share and to live, because we have a Savior who has lived through the worst, has walked in the steps that we walk. And so for us to know that, to be vulnerable in that, and yet to give complete trust to that God and to live with love in our hearts, lives, and action, that's a big challenge. So today when I take my tree down, because I'm pretty sure it'll be this afternoon, I don't think I can wait till tomorrow, it's time. It's time to walk from the manger out the front doors. It's time to take the joy that we experienced at Christmas and transform it into action. It's time to take the light that's shone in our lives and make sure that we share it, because we've had some incubating time, some lovely time at Christmas where we're surrounded by things and people and events and traditions that we love. And those are all wonderful, but now it's time to share them with the world. So may you show forth this Epiphany, everything that God has given you. Amen.